Hey, thank you for coming this morning to church. It's great to have you here, whether this is your home church or whether you're visiting. Welcome. It is really good to have you. I know that for many of you, you come on a Sunday morning and it's just what you do, but I just wanted to thank you that you have prioritized time to come on a Sunday morning, which a lot of people could use for sleep-ins or doing whatever you want. Clearly, I love sleep because I said sleeping. That was my first thing to go to. But thank you for putting aside this time to come and meet with each other and with God. I really honour that. Don't know what your week was like, but the fact that you're here means that God has you here for a reason. So we're really excited that this is going to be a time where you meet with God, you encounter Jesus. So we're going to do that. This week, we're looking at blind Bartimaeus. I like the way you said that, Colin. I've always been like Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus sounds a lot nicer, so Bartimaeus is what we're going to use from now on. But today, for just purposes of rolling it off the tongue, we're going to say Barty, blind Barty. So turn to the person next to you and say blind Barty. That's going to be his name this morning. If that's weird for you, I'm sorry, but that's just how my brain works. We've been looking at people who have encountered Jesus. We looked at the man beside the pool of Bethesda and how he was healed. Then last week we looked at Nicodemus and how Jesus showed him that the true way to live was through him. And so this week we're looking at another person who encountered Jesus. And I love this series because encountering Jesus, the people that we have seen encounter Jesus haven't left the same. I think that's the cool thing about what it means to encounter Jesus, because you can hear about Jesus and you can see cool things about Jesus, but it takes an encounter for you to actually change, right? And I think that's cool because in these stories we actually hear people who have encountered Jesus and their whole world has changed. And so I pray that this morning that that'll be us, that it won't just be these stories that have people encountering Jesus, that we would encounter Jesus. And for many of us, we've encountered Jesus from this big. For some of us, it might have been in the last year, but we're constantly in the need of encountering Jesus daily. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So would you join me in prayer? And we'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for who you are. We're thankful that you're a God who doesn't stay aloof or stay far away from us, but you're a God who loves to be close to us. The fact that you sent your Son is a very, very clear indication of that. And the fact that Jesus didn't stay as a hermit or just sit on a throne and just let people come to him. He went to people and he encountered people after people after people. And Jesus, we pray that that would be us this morning, that you would encounter us and we would have hearts ready to receive you, because we love you. We pray these things in your name, and everybody said,
Amen.
Put your hand up if you think you are allowed. That was good. Thanks, Russell. Put your hand up after the question. If you think you're a loud person. Okay. Cool. Okay. Now put your hand up if you think you have a loud person in your family. Don't look at them if they're sitting next to you. Yeah, okay, cool. I wouldn't say I'm a very loud person. It depends, it's contextual. So at youth group, if people are, we had a messy games night on Friday, so if people are trying to shove whipped cream in my face, I will be loud. But I'm generally not a hugely loud person, but there are exceptions to that rule, and I'll tell you about a few. So, and these are times when I was being loud and I got caught out for being loud. So I used to, when I was a teenager, I used to be the designated mower of our family. I would push the push mower along, back and forward, back and forward. It was excruciating. And we had half an acre, so it was a lot of pushing. But to pass time, I thought, well, it's boring to just kind of push. So I would put my headphones in and I would sing at the top of my lungs, like loud. The other thing was, is I was going through puberty, so my voice wasn't like this, it was like this. So So I'd be singing and there'd be screeches and then there'd be like really low patches, sound like Tim Green. And so I'd be singing at the top of my lungs and hoping that the mole would kind of cover the sound, but it generally didn't. Anyway, there's one time where I was mowing next to the road and I was facing this way and I'm just like singing, like I don't know what it was about. Singing at the top of my lung, turn around to kind of go back, and there's a car that's like literally here from me, and the window's down, and the driver is looking at me like I have the plague. They were like, and I just looked at them and I was like, put your head down, keep mowing. I didn't sing for a solid 2 minutes after that, that's how embarrassed I was. Another time that I got caught out for yelling was I was at a soccer match when I was younger for a friend, and he shot the goal and it hit the post. It didn't hit the crossbar, it hit the post, and I thought it had gone in. So I start getting up and screaming and like waving my hands around, and it missed. And all of the spectators turned around and had a look at me, and I was like, I was caught out. Obviously, you can see the link between why I'm being noisy and being caught out and blind Bartimaeus. He was a loud person in this story. He was somebody who was yelling. But the difference was I was a boy going through puberty singing, and he was a blind man who was desperate. Very big difference. And as we saw in the passage, thank you, Colin, for reading that. I was really blessed by that. He was sitting by the road. Now, it doesn't actually say how long he'd been sitting next to the road, but obviously it had been a long time. He would have been known as, oh, that's blind Barty. That's him. Like, that's the beggar that always sits there. People would have known that, oh, he's been there for years, like, maybe we should give him something, I don't know. But that was his life. His whole life was darkness. Could you imagine your life being complete darkness? That would be awful. And to make things worse, because he was in that state, he then had to beg, so he had to sit and just rely on the whims of people being kind to him. Now, because he couldn't see, he was also relying on the goodness of people not to mess with him, really. People could have stolen stuff from him. People could have done something awful to him. And because he couldn't see, he would be none the wiser. So he was living in this awful place. And that was his physical state. Now, who knows that a lot of the time what you see physically is a very close mirror image to what's happening inwardly. So he would have been broken on the inside. He would have been hopeless. He would have felt lonely and isolated. He would have felt just all these emotions that were like broken and not whole. And that was because of the way that he was. See, sometimes I think we forget that God created us to be whole because of our brokenness. Sometimes the brokenness gets too big, and so we forget about how we were created. But God actually created us to be whole. God created us to have life and have it to the full. He created us to be close to Him. He created us to be one with Him, to be intimate with Him. We've talked about that week after week after week, that God created us not just because he wanted to, but because for intimacy. And so that's how he created us. But as we know, and as the Bible story tells us, we decided to doubt God's goodness and doubt God's love, and we decided to go our own way, and that's when sin happened. And sin came into the world, and so did brokenness, and so did pain, and so did blindness, and so did lameness. Lameness? Yep. And all these bad things that God never intended came into the world because we decided to do it our way. And so his beautiful children who he had created experienced brokenness. we became broken, not because God intended it, but because we chose it. And that's where we see Barty. He's broken. He's in that state of the brokenness of the world has taken a toll on him. And so we pick up the story. If you've got your Bible, you can follow along. I'm just going to kind of run through the story so that we can kind of get to know it a bit better. So, Barty is in an awful situation. And then he hears this crowd go past. So, remember, it's between Jerusalem, a big city that had the temple in it, and Jericho. So the crowd is leaving Jericho. Obviously, Jesus has done something amazing there because there's this big crowd. It doesn't actually tell us in Mark's gospel what he did. But he was leaving Jericho and there was this massive crowd following him. Now, when I was younger, I used to think that Jesus was always at the front. Like he was leading the charge and there were all the posse behind him. But I don't think it would have been like that. I think it would have been like just this mass of people and they would be moving. And Jesus would have probably been in the center. So anyway, this mass of people are walking along and blind Bartimaeus starts hearing. Like all he could was hear that, oh, there must be a lot of people because I can hear lots of voices. And somewhere in there he hears the name Jesus. Obviously, he would have heard from people that Jesus was a healer because his response shows us that there was something in that. But anyway, these people were going past, he hears Jesus and he goes, oh, hang on, that's the healer, that's the guy. So he stands, and he doesn't stand, sorry. He just starts screaming out. And this is the desperation. This is where he's like, I've been sitting here for years. I haven't been healed. Nothing's worked. He's my last hope. So he starts screaming out to Jesus, like, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
We've been louder than that. Good try. But they started screaming his name. Like, he started screaming out Jesus because it would have been that desperation of, like, if he can only hear me over this crowd. And the people around him, they would have been like, trying to listen to Jesus, and so they hear this weird dude screaming, and they're like, hey, shh, be quiet. Isn't it funny, though, this is like a little side note, isn't it funny that the crowd that followed Jesus actually didn't know how Jesus operated? Like, sometimes you can walk with Jesus, but because you haven't encountered him yourself, you actually don't know what he's like. And so you don't know that when Jesus comes along, which he does in the story, he stops. And he hears the man's cry over the crowd, and he hears the desperation, which I think is awesome. And the people have tried to tell him to be quiet, but that just makes him louder because he's just desperate. And so Jesus hears him and says, hang on, come over. So he calls Jesus to him. The guy hops up, comes over to Jesus. There's a little bit in there that we'll get back to. It says he throws his cloak aside. That's something that we'll come back to. So he throws his cloak aside, comes to Jesus, and he still can't see. Sometimes I forget that he can't see. He's literally being led to Jesus. It's not like he's like walking up to Jesus and it's this like glowing moment. It's messy humanity. So he's being led, obviously, to Jesus. And then I picture it that he gets to Jesus and Jesus actually touches him so that blind Barty knows that Jesus is right in front of him. Now, this part of the story I always thought was a bit weird. Jesus, instead of just being like, hey, blind dude, I heal you, he goes, what is it that you want? Like, that's the bit where you go, Jesus, just look at that part. Like, he can't see nothing. Like, hold up the fingers, he's not going to guess. Just kind of take a hint. But he asks him. Like, Jesus knew that he was blind, but he still had the audacity and the intentionality to say, well, what do you want? And blind Bartimaeus says, well, Lord, like, I just want to have my sight back. And Jesus gives it to him. Jesus said, because of your trust and your faith in me, receive your sight and go. And then At the end of the story, he gets his sight back immediately and he follows after Jesus. So he has this radical encounter where one minute he was a beggar in the dirt, blind, not able to see, broken, hurting, lonely, isolated, to encountering the face of Jesus, being completely healed and following after Jesus. Something cool too that I always imagine is that the first thing that he saw when he opened his eyes for the first time was Jesus. Can you imagine that? Like all the things that you could see when you open your eyes, you see the face of God who loves you. That's something. So that's the story. That's the story of blind Bartie who encountered Jesus. And there's a lot in that story that I just want to touch on very quickly. The first thing is his desperation. Who's ever been desperate? Who's been in a desperate situation? Put your hand up if you want. Yeah. Desperation is a real thing. It's when you need something to break through. Like, if it doesn't happen, you're just going to stay broken. Things are going to stay awful. And so you need it. And it's not like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. It's like your whole world revolves around that. You're desperate for it. And I think we as people who have encountered Jesus or need an encounter with Jesus have so much going on in our world that we're not very desperate. Like, because Netflix is like the click of a button or you can chuck something in the microwave for 10 seconds and it's ready. We don't really need to be desperate because we can just go and grab it, or we can just get somebody to do it, or we can call someone or text somebody or whatever. Like, things that we need are just like that. But that's not what it was like with blind Bartimaeus. He was desperate. And we aren't desperate enough sometimes for Jesus because there's too much stuff. Or we've got too much going on, and so we don't really need an encounter with Jesus. We did that one time when I came to Jesus, and that was a good time, and I feel safe, and I've got a ticket to heaven. So I'm good. So I'm not really desperate for anything. And my life's pretty good at the moment, so I don't need an encounter with Jesus. I know sometimes I can think that my heart can be very much like, well, like, life's pretty good at the moment. I'm not dealing with anything that big. Well, the flip side is that you're actually in a desperate situation and you're like, I need Jesus, I need Jesus, I need Jesus. And then he breaks through and it's like, oh, great, thanks, Jesus. And then that's it. But it's like, as soon as you get what you want, it's like, well, Jesus, that was nice, good job, I'll give you a good tip on Sunday. But this man, his whole life was, I need Jesus. I need an encounter with God. And when he got one, it changed his whole life. And he followed Jesus. Followed closely to Jesus. Didn't just kind of be like, well, that was nice, Jesus, I'll look you up on Instagram. It was, no, Jesus, like, I'm going to follow you. And so I pray that, like, our desperation for God would be something that we actually know that we need. We need to be desperate for God. We need to be a people who are so desperate for God that when people see us, they see that we want God, not just that we want them to have God. Does that make sense? Because sometimes we're like, yeah, you need Jesus. And they will look at our lives and we're like, oh, I need that raise, or I need those sneakers, I don't know. We need to be a people that need Jesus every moment. We need to be desperate for it. Second thing is encountering Jesus. That word encounter. When blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus, it was in the flesh. It was a person-to-person encounter. It wasn't like, oh, I read about Jesus in the paper. That was a nice encounter. It's not an encounter. That would be so weird if my encounters with my wife was like, and Rebecca said, oh, that's nice. That wouldn't be an encounter. An encounter is where you and the person are together in some form. And that's what we need with Jesus. Sometimes we we get into the club, into the Jesus club, because we have a one-off encounter with him. We encounter his love and we encounter his forgiveness, and it's great. But then it fades a little bit. And so instead of encountering Jesus on the daily, we just hear about him. Kind of like the crowd. We hear that Jesus is good. We hear that he can heal, but we don't really need it. Or we can even see it. A lot of the people in the crowd would have seen Jesus. Like, we can see that he does stuff. We can see that he moved in that person's life. Or we can see that he's still on the move. But we haven't actually encountered him. We haven't seen, well, Jesus is like this. This is how Jesus speaks. This is what Jesus thinks about me. Not about us, about me personally. Encountering Jesus needs to be what we need. I'm going to be really frank. We need an encounter with Jesus every day. And if we don't, we're not living life to the full. Jesus came so that we could actually encounter him daily, like moment by moment. That's what he did with the Father. He showed us what it was like. He was every moment like, this is what the Father is doing. This is what he's saying. This is how he's speaking. This is where he's going. That's what we need. And we need to be desperate for that. I know in my life that there's times where my passion for an encounter with God becomes, oh, well, I encountered him last week, and that was nice, so I'll just live off that.